Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. This is Robert Rees, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Farooq Tewari. How are you, Farooq?
It's a pleasure, and it's great to be with you, Robert.
Farooq is the CEO and chairman of Ethan Allen Interiors, and I believe only the second in a 90-year history. Talk about the concept of Ethan Allen Interiors and how innovation has tied into that through the years.
Yes, with great pleasure. Robert, Ethan Allen was started by two individuals, actually from New York. The company was started by an entrepreneur named Ted Baumritter and his brother-in-law, Ned, himself. And in 1932, right in the middle of the Depression, they went to Vermont, to what is called the Northeast Kingdom, and purchased a sawmill and a factory and started making furniture, early American colonial furniture. They were entrepreneurs. They decided that the way furniture was being sold around that time was just like washers and dryers. So they convinced department stores like Macy's and Marshall Fields and others to establish what they said was Ethan Allen galleries. Small galleries so people could see how a dining room looked, how a living room looked. And that's how the process started. And they then started expanding. From Vermont, they went to Maine. They went to Western New York, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and even to California. So they ended up with 30 manufacturing plants in the next 25, 30 years. And they also realized something more as an entrepreneurs, that consumers would need some help to decorate their homes. So in around the 1950s, they decided to convert many furniture stores in what they called Ethan Allen Galleries, where the element of service became important. And so 1950s, 1960s, 70s, Ethan Allen Galleries sprang all over the country. So that was the beginning of the Ethan Allen enterprise, always focused on great quality. Of course, early American colonial was the style of the day. And my association with Ethan Allen started in the early 70s.
And it's a really interesting story of the risks that you took, including leaving your job at the Rothschilds to work with Ethan Allen. Tell the challenges that you faced personally and how you overcame those challenges to build a partnership with Ethan Allen.
Well, you know, there are instances that help you in your journey. I'd come from the beautiful mountains of Kashmir to beautiful Brooklyn. I lived in a one-room apartment. And my grandfather in Kashmir was involved with arts and crafts. I was going to school at NYU, working during the days as a bookkeeper and not having seen any books, but I convinced him that I was a bookkeeper. I was studying marketing, and my grandfather decided to help me by sending about 12 wicker baskets of arts and crafts. They send us the cost, it's going to help you in your education. So my first challenge was to find a customer. Our class at NYU had received a lecture from Marvin Traub, a well-known CEO of Bloomingdale's. So I said, well, let me call him. Well, it took me 8, 10, 12 calls. Finally, they got tired and said, come on in. So I went with a few items. He and an merchant liked it. Well, that started my career, as you might say, in the home. So if Bloomingdale's, I said, why not Lord & Taylor's? So I went to them too. And anyway, I started then in the business of home accessories, textiles. while I was still going to school at night, working as a bookkeeper, and from bookkeeping, I ended up working on Wall Street just by coincidence, and ended up working for the Rothschild Company. In finance, even though I was studying marketing, it was there that one of my associates said, you know, I know the founder of Ethan Allen. Would you like to meet him? I said, yes. So I went to see Ned and Sal. He got in the merchant and he said, you know, this young man is from Kashmir. Do we get anything from there? She said, yes, we get this fabric. Never comes on time. Always a problem. He looked at me and said, can you help? I said, absolutely. I had no idea. But anyway, I ended up in the fabric business. Ethan Allen is a customer. And a year later, Ned and Sal again called me. Said, you know, we're having trouble getting rugs from Romania and India. Can you help? I said, absolutely. I had no idea where Romania was. I had no idea where rugs in India were made. Anyway, I didn't go to Romania. I went to India, found resources, and I had to take my 1 week vacation to do that. Ethan, and now I was in the rug business too. And it was about 2 years later, I had ended up becoming the chief financial officer, as you mentioned, of the Rothschild Company, a great, great enterprise. And Ned and Sal asked me if I would work at Ethan Allen. So I looked at him up and I said, well, how about a partnership? He smiled, he said, what do you mean? I said, I'll give up my job if we set up an enterprise in which I would own the majority interest and we'll develop products for Ethan Allen all over the world. Well, to give him credit, he said, yes, okay, go ahead. And the first thing I had to do was establish an office in Florence, Italy. Because at that time, Italy was the main source of accessories and textiles and lighting. So anyway, that's how the venture started. And for seven years or so, I did that venture. And finally, Adam Sell again asked me. He said, you know, why don't you come and join the company? And I said, well, what would I do? He said, what would you like to do? I said, well, the only reason I'll come is to take your job. He was a little bit surprised, shocked to some degree, but he smiled. He said, I can't promise you that, but I really would like you to come. I said, okay, but keep in mind, the only reason I'm coming is to run that company. Well, a few years later, I became the president of Ethan Allen. And our journey started in the transformation. So I've got to give a lot of credit to Ned and Sal, a great founder. So as you mentioned, Ned and Sal was the CEO, and then he turned it over to me, and we both of us have been the CEO of this company for 90 years.
And that could be unprecedented to have only two people leading a company over 90 years. But what's interesting is the story you just told is you built trust, such a deep trust in taking on all these new assignments. What was the key with how you built trust to be able to escalate so quickly to the CEO position and get the results and the respect?
Well, you know, there are a lot of factors, but when I was in Kashmir, my grandfather wanted me to be an engineer or doctor. That's what most students did. I didn't tell him, but I went to study English literature and political science so I could spend my time in sports. I liked sports. Cricket was a game that I liked, and I was the captain of the cricket team in the school, in the college, in the university. Now, the cricket is a game that teaches you how to really be a leader. A captain has to play with the team, strategize with the team, be part of it. So my background of being a captain of the cricket team was, I think, more important than my studies in English literature and political science. So when I came to the United States, my job in a printing company, or with the Rothschilds, or later at Ethan Allen, I always used the principle of sports, and that is of a cricket. The captain of a cricket team is somewhat different than, let us say, the coach of a baseball. The captain plays, strategizes right there. So I always, back of my mind, and later on I actually use that as a major part of our business strategy, is that we are going to establish cricket teams and our captains are going to be the ones running the business. So myself, and our teams really understand the role of a captain. The captain has to play, be part of it, be in the field, and that really was, to some degree, the background which helped me take on the responsibilities I did.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We are speaking with Farooq Kathwari, the chairman and CEO of Ethan Allen Interiors. We're going to take a commercial break right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this incredible organization built on innovation, multi-generation, and really built on trust in everyone. Back in a few.
Would you like to host your own radio program or podcast? Park City Productions 06604 is a Bridgeport, Connecticut-based radio broadcast solutions company. Follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's Park City Productions 06604. Call us at 203-522-88.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type, and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Robert Brees on the CEO Show, where we speak with the CEOs who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're here today with Farooq Kathwari, who is the chairman and CEO of Ethan Allen Interiors. And what's most fascinating is in 90 years of existence, there have only been two leaders. I don't know of any other company, and I've interviewed over 1,000 CEOs that have done this. And really, you built this culture, and the culture is, let's call it multi-generational. People stay there for life and their kids. Talk about this multi-generational culture at Ethan Allen.
Ethan Allen got its start in the Green Mountains of Vermont, called the Northeast Kingdom. The people there are very independent. They're entrepreneurial. In fact, when I first went there, and I'm here at a relatively young age, I'm the president of the company, being introduced to 2,000 of the Green Mountain boys and girls. They looked at me and they said, "Who's this fellow by the name of Farooq?" I looked at them and said, "You know, I come also from the mountains. And I understand we have a similar saying. That is, most of the problems of the world have been created by these flatlanders." Well, they laughed. They said, "Oh, you're one of us." One has to create a team. Keep in mind, we at Ethan Allen for 90 years have been in existence, and we have been profitable every year for 90 years. It does not happen by accident. So innovation becomes an important part of an enterprise. Now, innovation means in not only developing the right offerings, having the right manufacturing, the logistics, but innovation means taking care of your people. That's the most important part. Taking care of the people at every level is, as you mentioned, that people here have, you know, worked for many, many years across the board. When I joined, Ethan Allen Retail was run by Ethan Allen dealers, families, who had established Ethan Allen stores. And I remember, and they had Ethan Allen dealer organizations all over the country. So I became president fairly young, and one of my first assignments Nat and Sal gave me was go and meet all these Ethan Allen dealers in the West Coast. Tough group, entrepreneurs. So I went there, and I had a great meeting, and one of them, who actually happened to be the son our grandson of Ted Baumritter, the founder, he thought perhaps he should have been given the job. So it was a little bit of a tough on me, and he said, "What are you going to do for us?" I said, "You know, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to make sure we are innovative, but then I'm going to hold you responsible. You better do it right." Now, as a young fellow, these were all experienced retailers. They looked at me, and then they all laughed. Then they said, "You know, we have these meetings twice a year. We'd like you to come." But I said, "I have a condition." He said, "What do you mean a condition? We are inviting you." I said, "You know, you're having this meeting at a hotel near the San Francisco airport. The Western United States is one of the most beautiful parts of the world. Let's have these meetings in some of the beautiful places of the West, like near the Grand Canyon, the Yellowstone Park." They looked at me, and anyway, they said, "Good." Now, what that did was, these meetings used to be now, instead of 2-3 hours, ended up with 2-3 days. Developed tremendous relationships. The families would come. My wife would come with me. So we developed associations and friendships, which became very, very important. In fact, we had other dealer associations. one in the Southwest, one in the Midwest, one in the Mid-Atlantic. They all, I convinced them to have meetings not in the airport hotel, but somewhere that was great. Like, for instance, in the Southwest, we had meetings in New Orleans, in Santa Fe, and other places. In the Mid-Atlantic, we had meetings in Miami, in the Carolinas, in the Bahamas. What it did was, it built a tremendous relationships. That was important at the retail side. Similarly, on our manufacturing side, we had 30 manufacturing plants all over the United States. These were built from the 1930s onwards. And as we went forward, we had to consolidate them to the best possible locations and to make sure that our manufacturing people become a team. So, developing a team, being part of the team, playing with the team, and became part of the culture. And that is really what has helped me and our enterprise to have flourished for 90 years. And keep in mind, not easy. Robert, we're a public company. And we come to that. I took this company public. And as a public company, the focus always is grow, grow, grow. They don't even worry too much about profits. So I had to convince Wall Street that we are going to run one enterprise and be the best in that. And we're going to make money. And that's what we have done.
I want to say, everyone listening in, it's what a remarkable story and experience. And when you talk about building multi-generation, when you talk about trust, there is no greater trust than when two people are not communicating the same and you say, you're from the mountains of Vermont. I'm from the mountains too. It's about creating commonality. I just want to ask one more question, and we have about 3 minutes left right here on this radio show. You've been there as CEO for over 30 years. What is the key at the heart of being a successful leader?
You have to establish certain basic principles. 30 years back, I sat down, talked to my associates, and we established 10 leadership principles. Our 10 leadership principles include that the leader must work hard. The relative importance of priorities is critical. Speed is important. There's something great, you got to do it. And finally, a concept that is not used much in business, our last and the most important concept in these 10 principles is justice. Justice is, how do we treat our people? How do we treat the environment? We have received a great, great recognitions for treating, for being in them, for our environmental work. You know, 16, 17 years back, Robert, our industry, like everywhere else, was leaving the United States or leaving North America, going overseas. I said, no, we want to control our destiny. We want to have people who work for us. I want to treat them fairly. So, anyway, we went to the middle of Mexico, purchased a 50,000 square foot plant run by a former U.S. Army officer and his family. Today, that operation is 600,000 square feet, 1,200 associates, and has been given the designation by the Mexican government as the best place to work for the last many, many years. Similarly, we went to Honduras and established a wood plant. This in Mexico is an upholstery plant. Now, from zero, we've got 600 plus associates. And again, we in both places run medical facilities, transportation, take care of our people. And when you do those things, you know, it works. We are now shipping our products to China, to Taiwan, to Philippines, rather than buying from there.
Farouk, I want to tell you what a pleasure it is working together again.
It is my pleasure to work with you and to know you and to have you as a friend.
Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
You've heard that supply lines are down or moving slow. And that most everything costs more these days. But good news. High-quality Sunny Bay products are in stock and ready to ship now because they're made in the USA. Like our extra-long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs, are microwavable, and come in a variety of colors and patterns. What a great gift! An extra-long neck heating pad from Sunny Bay. Also available in lavender scented. Buy now in time for the holidays and avoid any shipping delays. Available on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. They're great for men or women, are reusable and easy to clean. So this year, give the gift of pain relief. An extra long neck wrap from Sunny Bay. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Order now when our stock is high and shipping is fast. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We'll be right back.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Keith Banks. How are you, Keith?
Doing great, Robert. Thank you.
Keith Banks is the vice chairman of Bank of America. Let's start talking about what you're doing right now with Bank of America.
So my role right now, and I've been in it since 2017, is overseeing or heading up the Investment Solutions Group. And what that entails, it's we have the CIO office, so we combined chief investment offices. We used to have two, one in the private bank, one in Merrill Lynch. We have one CIO office now, one CIO. So we have that whole group, and that includes things like thought leadership, due diligence, managing portfolios. We also have all the products and platforms, alternative investments, capital markets. So the way this has been structured is that we support the private bank, we support Merrill Lynch, we support the consumer investment division, and we support RPWS, which is the retirement area within Bank of America. So we're kind of centered to support and help all of them achieve their strategic plans.
And you oversee at different capacities about $3 trillion, which is almost like a sovereign nation. How do you just strategically look at that type of expansive portfolio?
Yeah, so if you look now with the increase in the market and whatnot, we're probably up closer to $3.7 trillion. Now, that includes not only investment assets, brokerage as well as fiduciary, but it also includes the loans and deposits that clients have within global wealth and investment management. But it's like anything else, right? We just, you know, we're dealing with big numbers, obviously, but we need to be able to put strategies in place and recognize that we're moving around big amounts of money, or helping clients move around big amounts of money. And so we need to take a longer term view of the markets, a longer term view from a recommendation perspective, and be able to recognize we're not going to zig and zag and try to catch every market move. It's more, how do you help clients be positioned for the long term and then make adjustments as time goes on?
So back in about 2007, you're with Bank of America, and there's a major acquisition with U.S. Trust, really the founder of Private Client back in 1853, and you became president. Talk about the whole concept and what you learned from going through the merger.
Yeah, it was an interesting time. So we had the opportunity to buy U.S. Trust from Schwab, who owned it at the time. And Bank of America also had a very significant private bank. And so when we acquired U.S. Trust, the idea was that we were going to take U.S. Trust, Bank of America's legacy private bank, and create one integrated company called U.S. Trust. And the timing was a little bit challenging. As you mentioned, it was 2007. We made the acquisition. 2008, we were basically going through that consolidation. But as you know, that was right on the cusp of the great financial crisis. So the industry was in turmoil, and there were just a lot of things moving around at the time. So acquisitions and mergers are challenging in and of themselves. When you're doing it in such an uncertain environment, it just adds to the overall challenge of the situation. But you do what you need to do, and we did. So at the time, I was actually running Global Wealth and Investment Management, and after we acquired U.S. Trust and we did the consolidation, we just weren't getting the traction that we needed to get. So what I did was I put myself in as the interim head of U.S. Trust, and then I made some additional changes at the management level. And then we basically got the job underway of saying, now, where do we need to go? Because at the time, we're seeing actually outflows of assets. We're seeing some significant attrition of talent. There's just, as I said, a lot of moving parts. So what we had to do is we had to basically recalibrate the whole organization and in order to move it forward. So we laid out a very aggressive game plan. What we did was we said, you know, basically we tried to take 5 years, what could have been or should have been 5 years worth of work, do that within a 3-year time frame, laid out very clear plans as to where we needed to go. Because one of the challenges at the time was we had the legacy Bank of America, legacy U.S. Trust, and was very much functioning as that. And so part of the idea was to give very bold goals to the team it kind of forced the team to come together. So whether you and I want to work together or not, we needed to work together to achieve the goals that we set forth. And as you and I spent more time together, we realized we were both talented professionals that could do good things, especially if we came together and worked in a more cohesive manner. So that was the undertaking that we were involved with, and that really set the stage. By the way, my interim role ended up lasting 10 years. I ended up being president of U.S. Trust for just about 10 years before I moved over to run the Investment Solutions Group.
So how do you get the two cultures to work together? Are there any specific strategies you use?
Just break down the barriers, right? Because if people don't come together and you don't create that singular culture, you don't really have an effective organization. And I find the best way to do it is, number one, we needed to be honest with people. We were not in a place we could be, right? We were seeing the attrition. We had margins that were too low. All the things that you know, when organizations come together, often that's part of the challenge. So it's really saying to people, you know, here are the bold goals that we have to achieve. People then became very focused at the task at hand. And that just really broke things down. We had to make some tough decisions. You know, there were some talent decisions we needed to make. But we slowly but surely got our way there. And then as we started to make progress, people began to get more confident. You know, one of the things you try to do when you bring in an organization together like that, even though you have bold goals and stretch goals, you also need to be able to put points on the board. Because the biggest thing you need to show people is you're, in fact, on the right track, heading in the right direction, which gives them confidence in the direction of the organization, number one. But number two, it gives them also, you know, looking out and saying, hey, we're going to do this, right? You got to kind of rebuild that winning mindset, because if you haven't won for a while, you forget what it's like. And so you got to rebuild that muscle memory. And so as points get put on the board, people get more confident. You know, just the whole, you get that virtuous circle of hard work, good results, and things really start to come together.
You talked a lot about risk. What is your advice to other CEOs and leaders on how they can evaluate when they should or should not take a risk? Sometimes the best mountain is the one that you don't climb.
Well, you know, it's often just the risk reward of it, right? And I think, when it comes to risk, Robert, you need to understand what are some of the unintended consequences of a decision. I think sometimes people stop too short, right? They think about the obvious things, that if you do X or Y, what will come from that? I think where a lot of people get tripped up is then there are unintended consequences that they didn't sufficiently think through. So, you know, every CEO is assessing risk every single day, but you got to make that trade-off of, does the reward justify the risk? Does it keep you on the strategic path you're on? And do you understand all the ramifications or implications of the action you're about to take? And that's where the unintended consequences come in.
And you had a unique practice of getting two people, in a sense, to work together on a team. Talk about that.
Well, you know, if you get people focused more on the company and the goals and less on themselves, right? It's not about me or you. It's about the broader organization. It's about the goals we need to achieve. And then you got to create the accountability for it. So it's great to have goals, but if you and I don't feel that accountability to achieve those goals, you know, it's interesting, but it doesn't matter. But people knew, because of the changes that we were making, because of the things that we were trying to do, they either had to become part of the solution and part of that go-forward team by demonstrating they could be the ones that could help us achieve those types of results, or, you know, there was a chance they would not be around for the longer term to do that. So you get people kind of get their heads back down, get them focused at the task at hand, less worried about you and me and where we both came from. We're one organization, we're one team. We got to start acting like that. And the key is to take the broader goals and drive them down so they're very specific for you and for me, so we know exactly what we need to do, and hence you create the accountability, and good people respond to that.
And you paired them together, though, right? You intentionally did that.
Yeah, so what we did was we created teams. So the model at U.S. Trust was, if you were a client of U.S. Trust, you had a private client advisor, a private client manager. They were kind of the quarterbacks of your relationship. They would get to understand what the needs for you and your family were, and then they would then bring experts in a portfolio manager, a trust officer, a wealth strategist, whomever it was, and that formed the nucleus of the team that then served you and your family. So the team was then charged with, you know, driving together, you know, results for clients specifically. But then it was how do you bring it all together? How did the portfolio managers understand what their role was, the strategists, et cetera, et cetera? So everyone was pulling the oars in the same direction. And then you start to get a much more cohesive organization, and the results begin to reflect that.
This is Robert Reese on the CEO Show. We're about to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back with Keith Banks.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Robert Reese on the CEO Show, where we interview the leaders who have reinvented the fabric of America. We're talking with Keith Banks, Vice Chairman of Bank of America. And we just spoke about the entire philosophy of a very successful merger that everyone could learn about, galvanizing people to focus on one common goal together. Now I want to shift over, talk a little bit about risk. You're no stranger to risk. You're managing a portfolio for Bank of America of $3.7 trillion, with a T, dollars. Let's talk about the whole concept of risk. You obviously understand it from a portfolio place, but how about from a business perspective? Talk about risk.
Well, every day when you're leading a business, Robert, you're assessing risk. You need to understand where risk resides, and then obviously how do you manage risk, right? What decisions do you make? What decisions don't you make? Or when you make a decision, understanding all the implications of them. You know, a great example of one where I made a decision and it turned out to be based upon incomplete information. So we were trying to streamline a business at the time, trying to reduce costs. And so we said, what areas could we either move away from or shrink down? One of the things the team recommended to me, we had a group within the business that performed different services for clients. But the view was the services they performed were commodity in nature. The client really wouldn't worry about or be concerned with them moving away, you know, if we outsourced it. And so it was too convenient, right? Because I was looking to reduce costs. Here was an idea to do it, and rather really push hard on it, I just accepted the recommendation. It was my decision to make, and we made the decision to outsource this particular function. Well, it turns out the assessment was wrong. That function was very important and very personal to the clients we had. We started getting significant clients calling up and expressing tremendous concern about the decision. And what made the decision even harder was part of the outsourcing meant the 75 or 100 people associated with this function were going to leave. And we had already told them they were going to leave the company. So now we have this onslaught of client concerns. We'd already said to this team of people that, you know, their tenure with us was going to end. And what I had to do was, once I realized that the decision was a bad decision based upon incomplete information, but I should have done more to get the full picture. And then we went back. I had to literally pull together that entire team of people. I said, look, I made a decision. It was a bad decision in hindsight. We're going to reverse the decision. We want you all to stay with the company. And literally, we lost, I think, of 100 people, roughly, we lost maybe one person. Because the fact that you know, I was, you know, some of my lieutenants said, look, we'll talk to them, whatever. I said, no, look, it was my decision. I need to get in front of this team and say, mea culpa. And the fact that I was willing to say, we made a mistake, I made a mistake, we should have had better information, I should have asked better questions, we were able to retain the team after having essentially fired them. And it was critically important because at that point, had we lost that team, that could have had some very important ramifications on the client experience and even whether clients even stayed with us.
So your advice, CEOs, trust is at the core of everything, right?
Yeah, the real message that I learned that I would say to other people is you can't accept convenient truth. When someone presents something that is an answer you want to have and it makes your life easier, you got to drill down and make sure that this is not too easy a path. And in fact, you know, are there unintended consequences, which we had to deal with? Now, fortunately, we were able to rectify it, but that could have been a real problem had we not moved as quickly as we did to reverse the decision and keep this team in place and then go back to the clients and say, we heard what you said, the team is here, and we'll move forward.
How about personal risk? What's an example?
I think of personal risk when in my own career. So when I was working at J.P. Morgan Investment Management, I had the opportunity to join Fleet Boston Financial so I was head of U.S. equities for J.P. Morgan. I got the opportunity to become the president and chief investment officer of the whole operation, asset management operation at Fleet Boston Financial. Now, quite frankly, you know, I had had a successful career at J.P. Morgan. I'd been there 16 years. I'd learned a lot. Great company. But I wasn't really sure whether I was ready to go to that next level because I always had the security of someone else above me who would always kind of be a sounding board or whatever it was. I made a lot of decisions at my level, but I wasn't making the ultimate decisions for the whole organization. And so when I got offered that opportunity, I had to decide, you know, was this something that I was capable of doing? And was it the right time to do it? And the decision I made was to accept the role. It was game changing for me because, it did work out. I was able to move to that next level, and become a chief investment officer as well as the president of the organization. And so that then set my career in a whole different trajectory. But the risk for me was if I had made that move and I wasn't ready or I didn't have the skills that I thought I had, I would have been in no man's land because I already would have left a certain level of an organization, failed at the next level, and then at that point, you know, no one wants you going back down because they're going to, you know, it's a sense of failure. So it really was a personal risk that I had to calculate. Was it really worth taking that, you know, that shot at that time? Obviously glad I did, you know, worked out, but it a lot of trepidation as you kind of think through that.
Let's shift over to board governance. So you've had a lot of leadership roles. You're actually on Hackensack Meridian, and Bob Garrett, in full disclosure, was cited as our number one transformative CEO in healthcare in America. And you've been on that board, and they've acquired lots of companies, had many firsts and pioneers. What is your philosophy on being a board member?
When you're a member of a board versus the member of a management team, they're two very different roles. So we are there as a board member in an oversight role, in a governance role, and we are there to help the chief executive and to help the senior leadership team be successful. You challenge them, you bring the insights that you've learned over the years as an executive yourself. But you're not on the field. And some board members get confused. They actually think they're there to make decisions or there to, you know, exert more influence over the CEO than, quite frankly, they should. So having been an executive, having reported to the board of our company, as I've gotten on nonprofit boards, you know, I understand the difference in the roles. And what I try to do is bring my expertise, bring my experiences to bear to help make sure that Bob is or whomever the individual is running the organization, in this case, Bob Garrett, has the benefit of my insight. But also know that my role stops at a point because it's not an operating role. It's more of a governance role. And that's an important distinction.
And there you have it. We have been speaking with Keith Banks, Vice Chairman of Bank of America. We've learned a lot about risk, about boards, about mergers and acquisitions. Say it again about the inconvenient truth.
Don't readily accept convenient truth because they're oftentimes, if it's too easy, it's probably too easy.
And there you have it. That's one to remember. Great having you on the CEO Show.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.